I want to do just a fun little exercise just to get us started this morning. I want us to have about 30 seconds of silence, quietness, and I would like you to get out a piece of paper. If you're online, just get your fingers all ready to go because you can type it. I want you to type everything that you hear in those 30 seconds or so, okay? So I'm going to be quiet, so don't put my voice down. I'll be quiet. Just everything you hear, anything you hear, okay? So here we go, 30 seconds of quiet. Write down what you hear. Go. Okay, depending upon how well your hearing is, maybe you had a long list. Maybe your list was short. I did this exercise this week in my office, and my fish tank's running in there all the time. But when I was quiet, all of a sudden, it started to almost scream, the gurgling and the bubbling and whatnot. And just as I was finishing, and I was so focused on that dumb fish tank at that point, and then all of a sudden, this was a God thing, from the hallway I hear, "Take me to the river! Throw me in the water!" And I'm like, "Are you kidding, God?" Okay? It's amazing when we begin to focus on things, how much we can see and how much we realize we're missing when we don't start focusing on it. I'm sort of thinking, or what processed through my mind is the, have you ever hit your hammer or hit your finger with a hammer or cut yourself when you're working? And as long as you keep working, it doesn't hurt. But as soon as you stop working, it can be a half hour, 45 minutes later, what happens? Ow! That thing hurts. You know, that cut really hurts. You know, it's funny, when we're focused on something else, all this other stuff we're just oblivious to. But when we start to focus in on something, when we start to become quiet, it's amazing what we actually might hear. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. Well, not a little bit. We're going to talk about it a lot. Here's the thought I want you to consider. God's Spirit is always talking, and God's Spirit is always working. Even when we don't notice Him, He's still at work. He's still speaking. He's still leading. But what if we actually began to intentionally tune into Him? What might we hear? What if we began to seriously seek Him and listen to the Holy Spirit? I think we might actually be amazed at what we hear if we just get quiet long enough to start listening to Him. So the whole concept this morning is very simple. Listen closely. Listen closely. That's the whole concept. Listen closely. So what is the concept for this morning? Listen closely, okay? We're going to talk about this this morning. Last week, I began setting this up. Well, shucks, I started setting this up way back in the early summer. We were talking about loving as Jesus loves. And don't we need to do that in our day and age? Don't we need that? I mean, anybody else looking around our country and seeing how divided we are and how mixed up and messed up we are and neighbors hating neighbor? I think more than any other time, we need to learn to love like Jesus. But one of the things that began to happen as I was walking through that series, and God expects us to love like His Son. But one of the things that began happening in my thinking is, wow, the way Jesus loved is so impossible. I don't know that I can live up to that. I don't know that I can love like Jesus loved. It becomes impossible. And then God led me into this next idea. One of the thoughts He gave me, I won't ask you to do something that you can't accomplish. So while it may seem impossible, God provides a way. God will make it possible. So now we're in this next series, Impossible But. So we're moving into looking at a lot of Scripture and seeing how loving like Jesus can become possible. And one of the things that I think is sort of fascinating, as we've been digging into the Scriptures, is I think that even Jesus Himself could not accomplish His own kind of love if He did not practice a few things. And one of the things we see happening is Jesus constantly was getting away. He was constantly connecting to the Father. He was constantly being quiet and being still and being by Himself. And I think if Jesus did not do those things, He would have never been able to love the way He did. Never been able to accomplish the things that He accomplished. Well, if you tuned in last week, and if you didn't, you can go back online, look at the Facebook or YouTube page. I talked about connecting with the Spirit daily. That was the whole hope, that was the whole challenge or word of encouragement last week, is that on a daily basis, we need to connect to the Spirit. And then I gave some tips with that. One of the things I said, very simple way to connect to the Spirit, for one, don't overcomplicate this. Keep it simple, simple, simple. Sometimes we get this idea that we have to make it all complicated, and if I make it all complicated, then I'm more spiritual, just because it's more complicated. No, keep it simple. Really simple, all you need to do. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, show me something today. Dig into God's Word, because God's Word is His primary means of talking to us. As you're digging into God's Word, simply look for it. You don't have to read tons. Just read a paragraph or two and simply say, Holy Spirit, show me something I need to see today in God, in your Word. And then jot it down. Write it in your margin. Highlight it. Put it in a journal. Whatever you want to do that works for you. Whatever trips your trigger. But just somehow recognize what it is the Holy Spirit pointed out to you. And here's the last idea. Simply pray and say, okay, God, help me now to live. Live it. Help me now to keep that truth before me. Help me to practice whatever it is that I saw. So a very simple connection, but we need to do it on a daily basis. Not just once a week have an hour with God, rather on a daily basis for 5 minutes, just connect with God. The last tip I gave was listen closely. I didn't expand that because I knew we were coming here this morning. So you've committed to keep the daily connection simple. You've committed to make it happen. You've committed to remove distractions and noise. And now it's time to listen closely. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about listening closely. Do you believe God wants to talk to you? Answer that in your head. Do you really believe that God wants to talk to you? Now, if your answer to that is, well, maybe, maybe not, no, well, then everything I'm going to share is pointless for you. It's a waste of your time and a waste of my time to be here this morning. But if you believe that God really wants to talk to you, then I have some things I'd like to share with you this morning, some things I want to look at from God's Word. What I'm about to say is not pointless if God really does want to talk to us. And here's just a thought. I believe God does want to talk to us. In fact, I believe God is talking to us all the time. And it's not that God's silent. It's that we're too loud to hear Him. We're too busy to tune into Him. So how do we do that? How do we clear the fog? How do we clean that up? How do we come to a place of where we can really begin to zero in on what God is wanting to say to us through the Holy Spirit? Now, one of the most fascinating things that I learned through the series, Love Like Jesus, was how Jesus never seemed to be too busy for people. Jesus never lived the hurried life. And one of the stories that really jumped out at me in that whole series was the story of Zacchaeus. I'm not going to give the whole story, but just to recap, if you remember, Zac was a short dude. He was a small guy. He was also a tax collector. Nobody liked him. And he wanted to see Jesus because he heard Jesus was coming to town, but he knew the crowds wouldn't let him close to Jesus. And so he came up with a brilliant idea. I'll climb up in a tree so I can see over everybody. And so he climbs up in a tree, and he's standing, sitting, hanging on up there, looking over the crowd, looking for Jesus. And here comes Jesus passing by. Now, people may have saw him up there. The disciples may have saw him up here. But the fascinating thing is that Jesus was not too busy to notice Zacchaeus. Now, Jesus had a million places to go, a million people to see, a million things to do. I mean, he had an agenda, and it was full, and it was busy. And yet, as Jesus was walking by, he's like, oh, man, Zacchaeus, come down here. I need to talk to you. And he calls Zacchaeus down, and it may have come as a shock to the disciples, but it probably wasn't a surprise to the disciples. But Jesus throws out his agenda, throws out his schedule, which probably messed all the disciples. Oh man, we were going to go here and there, and we had this to do, and tomorrow we have to be there. Da, da. And Jesus just throws it out, and he tells Zacchaeus, Zac, I'm coming over to your house tonight. Get things ready. I want to eat with you. And he throws out his agenda to spend time with a tax collector, a hated, sinful tax collector. It fascinates me. We see this over and over in Jesus' life. He is never too much in a hurry to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to love people. I look at that, and that was one of the stories as like, oh man, I don't know if I can ever love like Jesus loved. You know, I have a million things to do. And yet, Jesus was never in a hurry. He was never too busy to take time for an old sinner hated man even like Zacchaeus. And you know, I am finding that same Holy Spirit that was working in Jesus' ministry and his life is still at work today. And the Holy Spirit, just like with Jesus, is still prompting people who will listen to him and follow him. And the big question is, are we tuned in? Are we listening? Are we ready to hear? So how do we listen? How do we hear from the Holy Spirit? Well, I have about four main ideas with some sub-ideas, so we're going to go through a lot of stuff. So, Richard, good luck on keeping up with the PowerPoints this morning. If you want to take some notes, you can jot these down. But just some ideas. How do we tune into the Holy Spirit? Here's the first idea. We must clear our heads. We must clear our heads. There is so much noise in our world today, so much clutter over politics, over COVID, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, go back to school, don't go back to school, do I have a job, don't I have a job, Black Lives Matter. All this stuff is clamoring for our attention. Is economy going to crash? Is economy going to survive? You know, what's the political scene? Who's going to win? Who's going to be even running? What's going to be happening come November? All this stuff screaming at us every day. Will the church stay open? Will kids' ministry happen? Will we be able to get engaged in discipleship in small groups? All of this stuff, noise, 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 noise. And the noise can become overwhelming. In fact, they become so loud in our lives that it drowns out the voice of the Holy Spirit. It drowns out God's direction. And so the very first thing we have to do if we want to hear from the Holy Spirit is clear our heads. Here's what the psalmist said. So fascinating and so simple. Be still and know I am God. You can't do the second half when there's so much noise. Be still and know I am God. The voice of the Spirit comes in the most extraordinarily gentle ways, says Oswald Chambers. And if you are not sensitive enough to detect his voice, you will quench it. If you want to hear from God, you've got to slow down enough to clear your head and to tune in to his Spirit. And that's when the sacred gift of God's whispers can begin to be heard. That's when you become accustomed to his voice. And this is such a big deal. I want to give you four sub-ideas under this one, under clearing your head. So four quick ideas here that will help you clear your head. Number one, stop trying to figure everything out. Stop trying to figure everything out. Is your mind anything like mine? A lot of my brain power is spent on trying to figure things out, be it lighting in our house, the painting that needs to go on, the poison ivy that's all over our property that I'm trying to stay out of, but not doing so good of a job at it. My mind is running about how to get the church back and how to do kids ministry, how to do discipleship, and constantly, boom, 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 boom. I am just going 100 miles an hour trying to figure everything out. And the very first thing we need to do is stop trying to figure everything out. Second thing goes right hand in hand with that. Remember, God already has it figured out. God already has a plan. If I'm going to stop figuring it out, I have to consciously choose to remember God has it figured out. God already has a plan. A familiar Old Testament verse says it pretty clear. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Out of Jeremiah chapter 29. Do you realize God is not surprised by the future? He isn't sitting up in heaven like, oh, I can't believe that happened. Wow. I am shocked by that. Do you realize God isn't shocked by your past either? And he isn't even shocked by your present? Nothing shocks God. He isn't taken off guard. He isn't surprised. He isn't wowed by anything. He has a plan for you. And David wrote in Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Not only does your present reality not shock God, when you were a baby, he already knew what your life was going to look like. Oh, let's back that up. Before you were even born, he knew what your life was going to look like. Now, if you really want to blow your mind, not only does God know the plans he had for you when you were still inside your mama, he knew how you would mess those plans up before you got a chance to mess them up. He already knew that. And he already knew what those paths would take you down and the changes that would make in the overall plan of your life. And now to really blow your mind, he knows the plans not just for you, but every other person around you. He knows all that. Look at the person sitting next to you, be it your child, your mom, your husband, your wife. Do you know God already knows exactly how their life's going to turn out? He already knows that. There's no surprise, there's no shock for God. Before you and I were even born, he knew what your life would look like. And here's a shock of all shocks. God already knows who's going to win the election come November. God ain't going to be upstairs waiting in heaven for the polls to come back and for all the election results to come back. And God's like, oh, I can't believe he won. I didn't know that. God ain't shocked. He already knows. He already has it figured out. He already knows when the United States will come to its end and we will fall. He already knows when he's going to have enough and he's going to say the age of man is done and judgment is here. He knows. It doesn't come as a shock to him. So as you're working your little brain to its pushing point to try and figure everything out, do you realize God has it already figured out? So that leads me to number three. Then we need to trust him. We need to trust him. We need to stop trying to figure it out. We need to understand God already has it figured out. And we need to come to a place of just putting our trust in him. Why should we spend so much time fretting and stressing, trying to figure it out? And you know, Jesus mentioned this. He told us, do not, do what? Do not, starts with a W, makes sense with what we're saying. Worry. Why? God already has it figured out. Why do you need to worry? God's taking care of it already. Don't worry. The reason we worry is because we don't trust. And you know what? We have a problem with that, don't we? Because we want to trust in our own understanding. We want to trust in our own plans because we like our plans and we like being in control. And so rather than trust God, I'd rather trust what I can see and what I can do and what I can fix rather than trust in God. But Proverbs tells us in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not onto your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So if you want to clear your head, if you want to be able to quiet down a little bit, stop trying to figure it out. Realize God has it figured out. Trust in him. And number four, now you can begin to be silent. Now you can begin to listen. Because here's the deal. If he does have it figured out, I do not think, I told Michelle on the way to church this morning, I do not think God wants his will to be a mystery. I don't think God's up in heaven like, I got the plans. Let's see if they can find it like a rat in a maze. This will be a fun game. I don't think God works that way. I think God is saying, hey, I have it figured out, and I'm telling you, hello, will you listen? I'm telling you. I think God's constantly wanting to tell us his will, his plan, his ways. Will we listen? And so that's the last part. Will we listen? Will we be silent and quiet long enough, be still long enough to hear his voice? We must clear our minds. Let's go on to the second big area here. We must clear our hearts. We just about talked about clearing our minds, but we also need to clear our hearts. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due. Sue Humphrey gave me this idea last week, and I was like, ooh, that's really good. I told her this morning I was going to use her idea, and she's like, I didn't give that to you. I'm like, yeah, you did. We were sitting in the prayer room. You gave me that idea. Now, I know we're talking about listening, but vision eyes do the same thing. So I brought with me a piece of, well, it's plexiglass. How many of you wear glasses? How many of you, when you get a smudge on your glass, it just drives you nuts? I have never worn glasses till about 3-4 years ago. I hate wearing glasses, but if there is anything on the glasses, I'm just like, you know, and I'm like trying to rub them off, and Michelle's like, keep your hands on the wheel, and I'm like, okay, then you rub them off, you know, get them clear, you know. I can't stand anything on the glasses because my vision's going south already because of the cataracts. I don't want anything more messing my vision up. So sometimes, you know, when you have messed up glasses, dirty glasses, it really screws up your vision quite a bit. So I brought a big set of glasses this morning, okay? So let's pretend that you're on this side, the Holy Spirit's on this side, and you want to see what the Holy Spirit's doing, because I believe the Holy Spirit is constantly working in our lives. And he's constantly showing us what he wants us to do and how we should live. Now, we're doing it visually now instead of the ears, but they're both the same here a little bit. And let's say that the messed up glasses, the smears and smudges all over the place, let's say that that is sin. And all the sin that we pack into our lives will begin to cloud our vision of what the Holy Spirit's doing back here. We're not going to be able to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do or how the Holy Spirit's leading us. We won't be able to hear what he's telling us because we could say that's static, if you will. So sin messes up our vision and our ability to listen to the Holy Spirit and to see the Holy Spirit. Now, here's some really good news. How do you fix this problem? Thank you. Ta-da! All right. Ta-da! All right, let's see. We'll just try a little here. All right. It is not that difficult to fix a dirty pair of glasses. I'm not going to do the whole thing because it probably won't get better, okay? All you have to do is clean the glasses, and then all of a sudden, you're going to be able to start... No, it's not going to work the greatest, thanks to plexiglass, okay? All you have to do is clean the glass, and you're going to be able to start seeing more clearly. And you know what? The same thing's true in our lives of sin. It's not difficult. It doesn't take rocket science to clear out the sin in your life because Jesus Christ already took care of it. And he said, you know what? If you come to me and seek forgiveness, I will clean that all off. I will clear it all up for you. Just ask. So here's my suggestion. If you're going to carve out about 5 minutes a day to just be with the Holy Spirit, I would suggest that at the top of that time that you're going to spend with Jesus, maybe spend just 30 seconds or so asking the Holy Spirit, is there anything in me that needs cleaned up? Any sin, bad attitude, bad action, wrong thoughts going on in my head, wrong habits, whatever. Is there anything that needs to be cleaned up? And right now, I confess it to you. Right now, I give it to you. I'm going to honor you by asking for your forgiveness. Let me read a passage of Scripture, and this comes at the bottom of that psalm that I read earlier about God knit me together in my mother's womb. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Just spend a couple minutes. God, look at my heart. Is it clear? Is it clean? And if he says, nah, you need to deal with that. Deal with it. And he'll wash your heart. So let's move on. So we clear our heads, clear our hearts. And now, we must learn to recognize the Spirit's voice. We must learn to recognize the Spirit's voice. Now, this one takes a little bit of time to begin recognizing the Spirit's voice. And I'd love to say that it's easy to do, but this step does take a little bit of time. It takes time to start recognizing His voice. Now, let me give you a little bit of a story on this one. Sort of fascinating how I grew up. I'm getting older, and I'm willing to admit that I grew up in an era that is different than our era today. My mom would let us run, and we didn't have to worry about predators and weird people and all that. I grew up one block away from the city park in Plymouth, Indiana, and the city park was huge. It was divided by two streams that came together and then dumped into the Yellow River that flowed on this side, and there was still stuff on this side of the Yellow River as well. My elementary school sat right in the corner of the park, so that was a whole playground. On this side of the creeks was the playground, the pool, some tennis courts, some ball diamonds and whatnot. We were allowed to play anywhere on this side of the park. On the other side of the creek, we weren't supposed to go over there as much, just because it was so far away, but there were ball diamonds, a bunch of ball diamonds, soccer fields, sledding hill, a whole bunch of trails in the woods back over there. And every day in the summer, we would leave the house in the morning and we would not come home till supper at night. And we'd be over in the park, my brother, myself, neighborhood kids, whatever. We'd be over in the park playing. Every summer afternoon, I was a brown bear, as dark as a brown bear, because at 1 o'clock we would go to the pool when it opened, and we'd come home at 3:30 when cartoons started. And so we had to be home by 3:30. And we'd spend every afternoon, we'd watch cartoons, and we'd go back over to the park. Now, the most fascinating thing was no matter where we were in the park, and this is back in the era, okay, back in the age. This wouldn't happen today. My mom would come out of the front door, and she would yell across the park, "John Mark, supper!" You know, we could hear her voice no matter where we were in that park. And if our heinies weren't home within 5 minutes, she would know we were too far, that we weren't supposed to be on the far side of the park. If we came home wet, that was another problem, so we'd be sitting there like, "That means we're playing in the creek and we're not supposed to do that." And we would hear her voice no matter where we're at, and we would make a beeline for home. We could hear her a mile away. We could hear that scream. Same thing was true in the grocery store. When I was a little kid, you know, walking around with mom in the grocery store, I loved grocery shopping with her, but I'd get distracted by something unbelievable and start looking, and she would just keep on shopping. I'd turn around, my mom would be gone. And if I just quieted down, you know, I could hear her voice anywhere in the grocery store. I could hear her talking to the butcher, the baker, or neighbor, whatever, and I'd be like, "Okay, oh, there she is." And I'd know exactly where to go. Why? Because I was tuned into her voice. I knew her voice. If we're going to hear the Holy Spirit, we must learn to recognize the Spirit's voice. We have to start getting tuned in to His voice in our lives. So how does the Holy Spirit talk to us? That's a good question. Well, okay, so what does the Spirit's voice look like? Let me give you a few ways that the Holy Spirit, talks to us. Number one, primarily through God's Word. The main way He speaks to us is through His Word. God gave us this book. He said, "This is the best way to live life. If you want a user's manual for life, for raising kids, for doing marriage, whatever, here it is. I'm giving it to you." His primary means is through His Word. Here's another way the Spirit talks to us. He talks to us through our intuition or our conscience. That little voice in our head, when you're about to do something you know you shouldn't do, and that voice is saying, "Don't do that, don't do that." Oh, crud. I believe it's the Holy Spirit sitting there working in our conscience, in our intuition, guiding and directing us. Here's another way the Holy Spirit talks to us. He talks to us through other Christians, pastors, trusted Christian friends, Christian family members. You may be sitting here this morning and hear something I say, and it's the Holy Spirit talking. You need to hear this. And okay, the Holy Spirit's talking. Here's another one I threw in here because I think it's fascinating. Sometimes the Holy Spirit uses unbelievers to talk to us. Not saying they're believers, not saying they're spiritual, but sometimes when an unbeliever comes our way, maybe they present us a need. Maybe we begin to see how depraved they are. Whatever, the Holy Spirit may check our hearts and say, "You know what? You need to meet that need. You need to talk to them. You need to reach out to them." So the Holy Spirit will even use unbelievers to speak to us. So these are some ways that the Holy Spirit is wanting to talk to us. Now, with that said, I also want to tell you or give you some safeguards. because we need to have some safeguards around listening to the Holy Spirit. There has been a lot of evil done in the name of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And sadly, even well-meaning Christians can do evil to other Christians and then say, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to do this or do that. I tell you this because as we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, we need to be careful to distinguish the Holy Spirit from our own spirit. We need to be careful to distinguish the Holy Spirit's leading from even the devil's leading, because the Holy Spirit whispers, but the devil's screaming, and he wants you to listen to him. So we need to have some safeguards to distinguish those voices. For instance, I've had more than one occasion, I've had someone come up to me and tell me, well, God spoke to me and told me to come talk to you, and then they proceeded to condemn me or condemn the board or condemn leaders of the church because of a decision we made that they didn't like, and the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. And it always fascinates me that God would go through the gossip channels to tell me something rather than just telling me something. And I want you to know, I also have around me people I trust. Primarily here, it's your leaders, your board, and they always have right to come speak into me because I don't see everything in my life, and they have authority to give me counsel and to talk into me. But when somebody comes in with a judgmental attitude and they're coming in with a condemning, pointing finger, I begin to seriously question whether they heard the Holy Spirit or they heard something else, maybe their own voice. So we need to have some safeguards with hearing the Holy Spirit. Let me give you, I don't want to make a big list, but let me give you four simple safeguards to hearing the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit will never contradict himself. The Holy Spirit will never contradict himself. He won't tell you something today and then change his mind and tell you to do the opposite tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit will not tell somebody over here something that they need to know or they need to do, and then tell somebody over here the total opposite of what needs to happen or they need to do. He will never contradict himself. Number two, he will never, never go against God's written word. If you hear that voice in your head telling you to do something that the Scripture tells you don't do, guess what? You heard a voice, but it is not God's voice, and it is not the Holy Spirit. It's another voice, but it's not God's. Because he will never contradict his own written word. And let me just caveat here, might get myself in trouble. I am concerned about the church in America today because there are people in the church saying, I heard the voice of God, and what they're saying is contradicting God's word. And you know what they're saying? What is evil is good, and what is good is, or what is evil is good. And sin is okay because, you know, God's word was written way back then. It's not that important. It isn't applicable to today. Baloney! The Holy Spirit will never contradict God's word, ever. Number two, or three, the Holy Spirit will never, never, ever, 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 never lead you into sin. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into sin, and the Holy Spirit will never call sin okay. Well, you know, I was praying, and the Holy Spirit told me what I'm about to do, or the way I'm living, or this or that. It's okay. That ain't the Holy Spirit. That is your own head talking to you, or the devil. It is not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never lead you to sin. In our discipleship on Tuesday night, Isaiah 5:20, I mentioned this. I ran across this verse. It's fascinating. Woe to those who say that what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right, that black is white and white is black, bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound remotely familiar to our culture today? Right is wrong, and wrong is right. The church is evil because it stands up for right. How dare you? And yet Hollywood is glorified because they're glorifying evil, and that's fine and that's good. Tuesday night, I was sort of shocked. One of the folks in our group, they said they're watching a news story or something, and they said there's actually a movement to promote pedophilia as okay. Because sexual love of children is still love. Love is love, and it's the way they were made. Are you kidding me? Good is evil, evil is good. The Holy Spirit will never lead you, it will never lead a church to sin. Maybe a different voice, but it'll never be the Holy Spirit's voice. And fourth, the Holy Spirit will always be seasoned with humility and never pride. Have you wondered why we hear more about Jesus and the Father than we hear about the Holy Spirit? I think there's a reason for that, because the Holy Spirit is the total opposite of pride. The Holy Spirit is very humble, and the Holy Spirit will never shout to get your attention, never give you a spanking, and never kick you in the hiney. The Holy Spirit just doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit is that soft voice. And the Holy Spirit will never be prideful or arrogant or lead you to pride and arrogance. The Holy Spirit will always be seasoned with humility and never pride. So there's some safeguards when we're talking about listening to the Holy Spirit, hearing the Holy Spirit. And frankly, they just make sense, that it'll always fall in line with God's word. He'll never contradict himself. He'll never lead you to sin. And he'll always be seasoned with humility and pride. So you always test the Spirit. When you're hearing something, was that my voice? And I need to do that myself all the time. Is that my voice? Is that Pastor John talking? Or is that the Holy Spirit talking? And I need to weigh that out a little bit. And last thing I want to talk to you just real quick here this morning. Why is hearing from the Holy Spirit so important? You know, if we have preachers, if we have Christian Bible studies, if we have other people that we can hang around with, brothers and sisters in Christ, why do we need to bother even listening or trying to listen to the Holy Spirit? Let me address this for just a second. Every day, we make millions of decisions, whether you know it or not. You make millions of decisions. You made decisions this morning, thank you, to put some clothes on, to brush your teeth, to hopefully comb your hair, maybe take a shower, please put some deodorant on. You made decisions about driving here. You made decisions about how you will drive here. You made decisions about how to put your key in the car. Millions of decisions. And a lot of those decisions we take for granted, they become habit in our lives. We just go into automatic mode and we just sort of go through all of these decisions. And then when something comes that messes those decisions up, those normal decisions, you all freak out. This week, I did. In our new house, we've learned a new way to Brunswick, and it's going down Abbeville Road. Or not Abbeville. Myrtle Hill. And it's a nice diagonal, you know, to cut off a couple miles. And so I'm going into town. Of course, I'm running late for a dentist appointment because I got to go to this week. And I go to go down Myrtle Hill, and guess what? It's closed. My decision's all messed up, and I had to drive all the way to Valley City. And then I'm like, okay, I need to call Michelle. Michelle, don't be late, because you can't go down Myrtle Hill. It's going to cost you another 5 minutes. You know, because my decisions got goofed up. Every day, we make millions of decisions. What if in all of those decisions we started to simply ask, Holy Spirit, lead me in those decisions, in the clothes I choose to wear? You know, y'all have certain styles of clothes, and I can tell who's in church and who's not in church, not by your face, even by the clothes you wear, because you all have a certain style. I was thinking Estelle. Estelle wears a lot of hats, you know, so I've seen Estelle in hats and flowery dresses. Everybody has sort of a style. Mark loves his t-shirts. We all have a style, even in the clothes we choose to wear. What if we stopped and said, okay, Holy Spirit, even help me pick the clothes I need to wear today. It may sound stupid. It doesn't have to be, oh God, you know, 5 minute prayer. I'm about to get dressed. Help me put the right clothes on. God may be saying, please just put something on, you know. But what if in all these little decisions, we start inviting the Holy Spirit to come in and start to lead and guide us and direct us, and we start to become sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Not that we'll have to stop on every little decision, but if we're starting to listen for him and listen to him, when he pauses, when he stops us, he may say, no, not that shirt today, this one. I got all miffed because I made a wrong turn yesterday. And my wonderful wife, she's like, well, what if God didn't want us going down that road today? And I'm like, yeah, but it's costing us 5 extra minutes to get back from Medina. But what if God is in those little decisions? You know, here, let me just bring you back to God's word. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus had a really interesting thought on this. So for some kicks and giggles, listen to this. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Here's Jesus saying, in the little things, begin to listen for the Spirit. In the little things, be trustworthy by God. May He trust you. When we begin to recognize and listen to the Holy Spirit in the small things, God begins to trust us with the big things. He begins to trust us with His kingdom. And He begins to lead us in the work of the kingdom. But we first have to listen. We have to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. And here's the thought. Once we get tuned in, and once the Holy Spirit begins to lead and guide, and I am by no means there, I'm still learning and growing in this. But once we begin to listen for the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit will begin whispering in our ears those little thoughts like, you need to send somebody a note. You need to call somebody. You need to engage somebody in a conversation. I know you're at the grocery store, no big deal, but I still want you to do that. And as we begin to listen to His Spirit, all of a sudden, those God moments happen more and more. I'm amazed how many times I'll be sitting at my desk minding my own business, doing work or whatnot, maybe praying, whatever. I'm not always praying. But I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden, one of your names will pop into my head. And I'll dismiss it, frankly, pretty much off the bat, because it's just like, oh, chasing thought. I maybe saw your name in a list or something, and oh, whatever, you know, and I'll go on. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit might bring your name back. And I've been amazed at how many times that the Spirit just keeps bringing a name back, and finally I'm like, you know what, maybe I need to call him. And I'll pick up the phone, and I'll give you a call, and I don't know how many times I've heard somebody tell me, I needed to hear your voice or a Christian's voice right now. And I'm sitting there like, okay. How many promptings do we miss? How many opportunities do we miss? We're not listening to the Spirit. I think the Spirit's screaming at us, telling us what we need to be doing, the phone calls we need to make, the comments we need to say, the little things we need to do. I think the Holy Spirit's constantly doing that. And Jesus says, if I can't trust you with the little things, listening in the little ways, I'm never going to trust you with the big things like leading somebody to Christ or doing a great ministry or something else down the road. I want you to first listen, and I want you to be faithful to these small things. And the first small thing is just listen to my voice. And when you begin to listen like my voice, you will begin to get ready for it. Here it comes. Hang on. Ready? You will begin to love like my son. Why do we need to listen to the Spirit? Because the Spirit will allow us to begin to love like Jesus. Not that it's in me, not that I'm able to do it. But it begins to be the Spirit through me, working through me in order to show other people Christ's love. And I believe that's the way Jesus was able to love. Here's what we're going to do this morning. We got plenty of time, and you're still here, okay? I told you last Sunday, after each of these three sermons that we're going to have in a row, I want to pause, and I want to give us 5 minutes of quiet. We are so busy. I want to gift you five quiet minutes this morning. And so this morning, Rich is going to put up a video. Don's going to let the music play real soft in the background. And I'm going to give you 5 minutes just to be silent and listen for the Holy Spirit this morning. I'll give you two directions this morning. Last week, it was just free for all. Be quiet and calm down a little bit and whatnot to have a couple quiet moments. By the way, if you were here last week, how many of you thought the 5 minutes like went poof? I was shocked how fast. I was like, wait. No, there's another song going to play. Oh, no, that's it. It's over. You know, 5 minutes goes so fast. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And this morning, I would like you just to pause for a moment and check your heart and say, Holy Spirit, look at my heart. Is there something I need to get right with you? Is there something I need to clean up, an attitude I need to get rid of, a sin that I'm engaging in that I need to just drop off? And just confess that this morning. Ask the Holy Spirit to clean it up. If you want to come up here and just kneel as a sign to say, God, I'm serious about this. I just give this to you. We won't come up and make a fuss because we're doing our own thing, okay? It is your 5 personal minutes. So that's the first thing. Is there something in me I need to clean up? And number 2, here's the second thing. If you're like, okay, I'm clear, Holy Spirit, talk to me. Talk to me, and then be quiet. Be ready to listen. I'll open us in prayer, and then Rich, you can start that little video, and then I'll come back up and close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to come before you in quietness and silence for these next 5 minutes. Holy Spirit, we're asking that you just come, that you reveal sin in our hearts, or that you speak to us. Show us your will. Give us your direction as to how we should live our lives. Amen. I believe you are wanting to talk to us, and you are talking all the time. But we get so busy and so loud in our lives, we're not listening, we're not hearing. And I thank you that when we do settle down, when we quiet down, you do speak, and you speak loudly. And I pray that you'll do that for each of us, that you'll begin to speak to us, reveal your will to us, show us what we need to do, give us direction for our lives, even in the small things, the small decisions we make every day, what to eat, what to wear, where to go, what to do, and that you'll begin directing us as we begin listening to you. And I'm so grateful that you are not silent in heaven. You didn't start this earth spinning and then walk away and tell humanity, good luck, figure it out. But from the very beginning and even right up today, you are intimately involved in this world and in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. May you find us faithful to simply listen to your leading, your guiding. Because, God, we want to love like your Son. Jesus, we want to love like you. Our family, our wives and husbands, our neighbors. Shucks, God, we want to love the unlovable even as you would love them. So speak to us. Lead and guide us, I pray. Amen.